This is such a familiar story, isn't it? It's the prompt for necklaces and earrings depicting fish, and banners and logos and bumper stickers and cookbooks and Christian organizations. The symbol of the fish reminds us of the miracle of Jesus' multiplying a scant number of loaves and a couple of fish into enough food for 5,000 people. Sufficient food, for instance, for everyone in Shelburne. We can get pretty caught up in the weeds of this story, conjecturing that, well, maybe people weren't especially hungry, or they were particularly deferential and they didn't take enough food, and that therefore there was enough food left in the basket. In focusing on the miraculous multiplying of the food, however, we tend to rush over the part of the story that, though seemingly insignificant, just seemed especially aimed at us. After Jesus has addressed the crowd, as Alex told us, and the sun is descending in the western sky, the disciples, those in the inner circle, are tired and they're hungry, and they think it's time to call it a day. They just want to put their feet up and watch their favorite show. So they quietly suggest that Jesus send the crowd off to fend for themselves, because they too are clearly hungry. And this is the part of the story that we skim over, but not today. It behooves us to consider the dynamic inherent in the disciples' appraisal of the situation at hand. They are the elite, the kitchen cabinet, Jesus' trusted inner circle, and they assume that they will have his confidences and attention while the crowds will not. They need to get down to business and figure out what will come next. They are important and they have work to do if they are going to help Jesus' message spread. Their intentions are all good. They take their roles seriously, and they genuinely seek to further Jesus' ministry. But they get it wrong, and Jesus tells them so. Why should the crowd be sent off to fend for themselves? Don't dismiss the throngs because it will slow your plans. They are the plan. And sure, it will likely be chaotic and messy, and what you had thought you wanted to do may not actually happen, but amazing things just might happen. There's also the little part about there being only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Only 5 loaves for maybe 15 people? That's actually a lot of bread, more than they ever would have needed. But they were operating, strange though it may sound, from a position of scarcity. Maybe even unconsciously their thought, there isn't enough food. We haven't gotten enough of Jesus for us. We need more. We are entitled to more. And Jesus calls them out. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. And again, the disciples protest that they haven't got enough. I just want to say, by way of visual example, the gluten-free bread that we are having this morning at communion for 100 people was just a loaf and a half. A few weeks ago, we opened the discussion of white privilege, and you can see how this story fits in with this view. Like the disciples, we walk on a road of privilege, rarely questioning our access to it or our right to travel exactly where we would like to go. We are also inclined to think that because we presumably do not get in the way of equality and justice, that we are doing our part. But just getting out of the way is not the answer, any more than sending the crowds off to fend for themselves was the answer. What Jesus is suggesting, I think, is that it is up to us to take the responsibility for others, to clothe them, to educate them, to provide health care, jobs, housing, and food. You go get them, Jesus says, and bring them to me. and the table at which Jesus presides, whether it is this table here set before us, or a patch of sand or grass, or a small tent with neighbors cheek to jowl, or an apartment at a campground, the feast at the feet of Jesus is abundant and merciful and filled with love and compassion and forgiveness. And when you start giving these treasures away, just watch. They multiply exponentially. And there is the miracle, indeed. Grace and peace.